Good morning, good afternoon. This is Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. I'm glad to talk to you all today. It's a rainy day here in Washington, D.C., and I understand it's raining somewhere out in California, and I guess we got some weather all over the place, some of it pleasant and some not so pleasant, but I'm welcoming you here. I am with you today. We do not have a guest. I will be doing reincarnations, talking about reincarnation and fear. And if anybody wants a brief life reading for reincarnation purposes, I would be delighted to have you call in, and we'll see what we can do. If you're having relationship issues, be glad to talk to you about them and see where they are coming from in the karmic or from the present, but usually you know they come from the karmic influences. We meet ourselves in the present, as Edgar Cayce says. We do meet ourselves. And what we see in our fellow man is actually what we are looking at as far as a mirror reflection is concerned. If you see qualities and gifts in people around you and your family and your workplace environment and acquaintances, you are usually meeting yourself, whether it's one that makes you happy or one that causes you some emotional pain. We are always meeting ourselves and reaping what we sow. Karma is not something we can get away from except through grace. And I wanted to talk a little bit about fear, because this is getting to be a bit much today with regard to the pandemic, epidemic, which I don't think it is, any of it, quite frankly, at this point in time, with regard to the flu bugs, the swine flu, avian flu, whatever. And do not be afraid. I cannot emphasize that enough. We all go through these various cycles of certain germs getting free and people having a need to go through some cleansing and growth. It's not pleasant, but to be afraid is just to invite more illness and more of the same into your life. I can remember when I was in high school and in grade school coming down with the flu or a virus, and schools would close when it got to be like 20% or more. That's when they would start to close in order to try and curtail some of the spread of the flu virus. But this fear, this thinking we can stop everything in its tracks, I don't know where that concept came from, but it doesn't make sense. One of the old-fashioned thoughts that we had growing up was that if you had gone through some colds and viruses when you were little, as you grew older, your body was able to use the memory of the immunizations of what you've gone through, and so you were a healthier individual as you got older, because your body had developed immunities to viruses that you had when you were younger. And those who had remained very healthy when they were younger tended to get a lot sicker, a lot more quickly when they got older, because their bodies, as they got older, are in a weakened state and were not as strong and could fight off the viruses when they were older. So there was some blessings mixed into having a virus when you were younger. Not that you want to go running out and getting it, but I do remember it was the fashionable thing to hold chickenpox parties or measles parties when you were little, or your friends would send you, or your mom would send you to your friend's house if they were sick with something, so that you caught it. And once you caught the measles or chickenpox, you didn't get sick again, and it was better. And not that I recommend that, but it's just that let's not get so wound up in fear that we can't reason and act normally like intelligent people. Good hygienic practices are very, very important in today's world. And my suggestion is that we all practice good hygiene. It's just basic common sense. So, you know, take the normal precautions of washing your hands frequently, you know, sneezing, coughing into a Kleenex or handkerchief that you have. Do not, you know, blast your germs out all over the place. And if you're getting sick, just remove yourself. from the local populace. That's a courtesy thing, because charity begins at home, and one of the things that you should be charitable about is yourself. When you're sick or one of your family members are sick, just take care of them and love them. That's the best way to handle any kind of illness that's out there today, no matter where it's from. So having given the practical common sense that I think all of you already know, we can talk about reincarnation. And one of the reasons why I'm talking about that this week is I have just finished a great book. It was like a trilogy, three books in one, that my cousin dropped off. And that surprised me, because my cousin has never evinced much of an interest in reincarnation, Edgar Cayce. He's heard me talk about him over the years. And so he said he went to a book sale and he found this great big fat book for a very reasonable price. And since he had heard me mention Edgar Cayce's name, he thought he would buy it maybe one of these days when he had nothing better to do, read it. Meanwhile, he dropped it off for me to read, and I did. A couple of them were books that I had read before. Part of the trilogy was something I had read before. But it doesn't hurt to read it again, because you can always find something new when you read about Edgar Cayce, or you read a really good book that tells you a lot of truth. And things that I have found over the years with Edgar Cayce are that the more I've read and studied, the more I have to agree. Experience has taught me that he was right. And what he had to say has been very, very accurate. And it makes sense in all the experiences that I have gained through life's evolution. And part of that, he was talking about, as we grow spiritually, as we right ourselves in this world, as we seek to serve God and our fellow man, as we seek to do that which is right and just, we become more and more aware and the gifts of the spirit, as I call them, or the psychic abilities, become more available to us in our waking lives. We are often sent away from them by our parents, our friends, siblings when we were younger, the people that made fun of us when we saw things that they couldn't see, when we heard things they couldn't hear, when we became aware of other beings around us, whether it was a relative that had died or an angel or a sprite or something of that nature. People made fun of us. I remember being made fun of when I was little. And my friends telling me I was crazy or making fun of me because I could see and hear things that other people couldn't. Not that they couldn't for a time, but I know some others also were seeing and hearing things, but they didn't want to be made fun of. They didn't want to be laughed at by their family or their friends, and so they pretended that they couldn't hear, and after a while, they didn't see and hear and receive the messages that they had before, and that's such a shame. It truly is, because all of these gifts are to be used in our daily lives to make life easier for us, and especially when you can understand what you've gone through before, and you can learn to find a pattern that you don't have to repeat before. I know in my life there has been karma, and it's been pretty rough, some of it, because I wanted to make sure that this was, perhaps according to how I feel, one of the last lifetimes that I'd have to come to on this earth. And that meant a lot of cleaning up had to take place. Not that I knew it at the time, because I'm blissfully ignorant of the true full nature when I was in my early 20s. I simply asked that I be able to get rid of all former karma at one time, because I thought I was a pretty fine person, and not being such a nice person, there's not a whole lot I could have possibly done wrong. Well, you know, wisdom teaches us all sooner or later. And I've learned as I've gotten older to be a little more careful about what I wish for, because, quite frankly, And the universe was really, really, really happy to say, oh, sure, we'll be glad to help you wipe it out, Phyllis. Let's go for a sleigh ride. Uh-huh. Next. At any rate, it's been quite a bumpy ride so far, and it's been interesting. But I don't know that I would ever make that bland statement again, and I'm surely cutting back on what I had to say as far as that goes. I don't know if I told you last time about a dear, dear friend of mine, Pat. She's a wonderful, wonderful artist. Her paintings are wonderful. She's done murals in my house. I have paintings on my walls that have been done for her, background schemes and so forth. And she really is a very unique, very talented woman. I just wish I could paint as well as she. And I think we belong to a mutual admiration society in that way, because she wishes she could be more like me, and I wish in some ways I could be more like her, and then we both acknowledge we are a little bit like each other, which is why sometimes we drive each other crazy. Yes, good afternoon, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. May I help you?
Yes, hi. Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Hi, who's speaking?
This is Milena calling.
Milena? Oh, how lovely. Where are you from?
I'm from Canada.
Well, how wonderful. I hope weather is up there better than down here, I can tell you.
It is. It's very beautiful today.
Well, you're certainly welcome to some of our rain.
Sunny and warm. Hello? Sorry?
Yes, I have you. Now, what can I do for you today, my dear?
I have a question about my phobia.
I have a
fear that I cannot explain. It's a silly fear of moths.
Moths?
Moths, yes. M-O-T-H-S.
Yes. Moths.
Yes. I'm afraid of them. I cannot stand them. I can't see them. I start screaming. I have to run away. I get like, I'm just like, have a really, really bad phobia from them. And I don't understand why. And nobody else around me understands why. And a lot of people would tease me and like catch a moth and start scaring me with that thing, because they don't get it. Because they don't understand. It's just a little thing. I don't know, like a harmless butterfly, they call it. And I'm so afraid. Like, I get goosebumps just thinking about those things.
Okay. All right. What I am getting definitely is a former lifetime with you. Okay. What I am seeing is that you were in a place where you had to hide. Okay. Are you also afraid of bats?
Bats?
Yeah, B-A-T-S, bats.
Okay.
You know, bats
I just didn't have the experience. Like, they're not around me, but I would probably be afraid of them.
you wouldn't go out and visit them, in other words. That would not be your favorite creatures. Okay. All right. Yeah. Again, my feeling is that this is a fear. I see you hiding, okay? I see you hiding in a place where you had gone for refuge. You were persecuted. You were a group of people who were hunted, and you fled to caves where where you were to hide. And you were, and I'm getting a feeling of you were a part of those who were not of the country. Okay, so that this was a very difficult situation for you. My feeling is also that in this area, and I asked about bats because basically what I saw were flying bats, but it also was had more to do with there are a lot of insects out there because this was near the summertime. Okay, and bats will fly wherever there are insects, you see. And my feeling is that while you were out there, you became very terrified of the night. Okay? Because this is when bats would fly, and so you would see moths and things like that, and you would dodge because in your mind, what you are really seeing is not so much the smaller butterflies, but the wings flapping. And this is the fear that's being caused, okay? And that there were a lot of insects. And there were cobwebs, too. My feeling is also that you are not fond of spiders, cobwebs, things of that nature. You stay away from them. Am I right?
Yeah,
okay. So that is where your fear comes from, in that you had to flee. And
was that when I was a child in previous life?
Yeah. I don't think you're so much as a child as a young woman. I'm getting a feeling of that you were a younger woman, maybe a teenager, when you had to fly.
Well, did that explain my dreams that I have? Like, my dreams, a lot of times, like, I can't remember my dreams, but the dreams that I do remember are, like, kind of a nightmare. That I remember once I had a dream that we were eating, and they start knocking on the door, and we had to, like, flee right away. I was with my father.
Yes.
In my dream, and we just grabbed like a little food that we could, like at that time.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. That is correct. Yes, ma'am. How old are you now, dear?
A lot of times my dreams are like running away from something, like
Yes. And you eventually, you didn't make it. Okay, you lost your life then. Okay, so. Other people can be so very, very cruel and ignorant. Excuse me. And my feeling is that, and I'm getting a stronger feeling, and I don't know how old you are, but my feeling is that this was in this past century. You came back fairly quickly. Okay?
So it could be like in a last war, World War One
or
Two?
World War One, yes, but more likely towards World War Two, yes. Okay? You were one of those who were persecuted people. And not only Jews were persecuted, but many others were persecuted at that time as well, my dear. Okay? But you were, our father was one of the elite, and you were one of those who just, you know, it was just very, very bad. And that's where your fear comes from, because you didn't understand it. You were not a baby at the time. But it was enough to impress you and to cause you great fear.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Completely.
Okay, now what I'm going to say is, having understood that, knowing that it comes from that lifetime, you can get or release that fear, okay? I don't know where exactly in Canada you are. There is Debbie Papadopoulos who lives up in Canada. If you call me later, I can try and find her information for you and refer you. But I would think that if you were to go for some hypnosis of regression to release, this would be of great benefit to you and will help you so you can release this fear and move on with your life. It's time to let it go.
Okay.
I think
it's so strange because this coming Tuesday, there is like a workshop on like past life regression. It's just because I promised my friend to do something with him. I said no to that workshop, and I called to find out when is it going to be the next time. And they took my phone number down to call me when they're going to have next one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my suggestion is you do so, darling, because I think this is going to give you the release you need so you can move forward in life and let it go. You are holding on to a fear that while it was there, you know, it is no longer necessary in your life, and it is really an emotional remembrance within you, okay? So it's important to move ahead and let all of that go by the way. You don't deserve to be kept tied to the horror that you had to live through before.
Wow.
It's time for you to be free and to enjoy life and have fun. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. So So okay. To enjoy life and to have fun, can you just tell me about my relationship? Like, I divorced 5 years ago, and I'm just in a kind of a relationship that I would like to end it. He just doesn't want to accept it. And do you see me staying with him or maybe going back to my ex-husband, or it's something new waiting for me?
Well, my gut feeling is you want to end a relationship because it's not heading where you want to go. And I think there are a number of things. Number one, you want somebody in your life, right? And
yes.
You want somebody that you can share with. But you're also kind of afraid to stand on your own. You are more...
I don't know. I kind of right now enjoy a little bit of freedom, like just because I'm not as involved with this person as I was before. Like before, we were together like every day, constantly
right.
on the phone.
Right.
Now I just took a step back and I just told him that I just want to have like some of my time on my own time. And I don't know. I enjoy my own time, so that's why I would
mm-hmm.
like to end the relationship, but also for next relationship, I would really like to have my own time and then have
okay.
a person that I can spend some time with. I want it all.
Yeah, you want it all. Listen to what you're saying. You want to end this relationship, but then you're talking about the next one before you're out of this one, okay? This is what I'm saying. You're kind of afraid to be on your own because you're immediately looking to fill something that has not yet been emptied. You
yeah.
follow? Okay. It's time for you to take a good look at yourself. Get rid of this fear and phobia. Look, it's good that what you're doing is taking time now to look at yourself and find the beauty in being an independent person. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good thing. This is something I would strongly urge you to look into. Don't even think about the next relationship, okay? Because now is an exquisite time for you to say, take time for yourself to be true to yourself. Find out who you really are standing on your own 2 feet. When the time comes for another person to enter into your life, that will be good, or someone to come back, fine. Usually when you go back, not always, but usually when you go back to someone, you find out the reason why you left them in the first place. Okay? There's always that reason. There's a reason it didn't work the first time. And usually people don't change that much. People can change, not saying that it isn't true. But in most instances, what you left for a reason, and that reason is still there if you go and look back at it. Okay?
Exactly. I agree with you. It's just that my ex-husband still wants me back, and my boyfriend that I have right now, he doesn't want to accept that I just want to end the relationship. Like, I already ended the relationship a week ago, and he still calls me and tells me, I love you, I want to see you, let's go out. Like, we are continuing the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't want to accept it.
Yeah, the thing is, all you have to do is say thank you, no thank you. you know?
I just don't want to be
part, what part of no does he not understand?
Exactly.
You're right.
I just don't want to.
You're a nice
mean.
Person. You don't want to hurt feelings, and you don't want to leave bad feelings. And this is very nice. But on the other hand, you have a lot right to have the relationships in your life that you want, and it is not necessary for you to support emotionally other people. It's time for them to get on their own and go along on their own to find a life that is important for them. And, you know, you just say no nicely, politely, and firmly. And just say, it's time for me to take care of me. And the only way I can do that is by spending time with me, myself. You don't have to explain anything to these people. All you just have to do is say thank you, no thank you. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And the only person you really need to answer to, my dear, is yourself.
That's right.
And you can do that by just loving yourself and being who you really are. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
Well.
It's really, wow. It's easier said than done, right?
Yeah, you know, it helps a lot, like, to get information, like what you just tell me, and it's helpful.
And the other
thank
thing
you
is,
very, very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And the other thing is, my dear, these two men have been in your past as well, okay?
Oh, my God.
And they have been in your past as well, and so it's important for you to turn around. Now, check out your dreams. Okay, do you remember your dreams? You do.
Not all the time.
Extent. Not all the time, okay. When you have dreams that show you in a period of time where the clothes are different, or you get a sense of it's a different time or place, pay attention to that dream as it will be telling you, okay, about other lifetimes. And it may refer to that lifetime and the lessons that you are supposed to be learning. Okay?
I do remember one dream. It was like about 4 years ago when I had, like, I just briefly knew my boyfriend that I have now. I'm dating him now at that time. I had a dream that he was in a big castle. There was no electricity. There was no nothing. It was just him and me in that big castle. He was laying sick in bed, and I was coming with a candle or a torch to help him, like with the water and the cloth to just to wipe his sweat off his forehead. And he was dying, and I was like, please don't leave me. Please don't die. Please don't die. And that's how I woke up. And that was the boyfriend that I am with him now at that time in my dream.
Uh-huh. You were, I would venture to say what I'm getting is that indeed you did have that relationship many years ago, and he was indeed dying from an illness, okay? Because disease was rampant in those days, and it was a very long time ago, which is why you saw it as medieval ages.
Yeah, exactly. That was the time, yeah.
And his reluctance to leave you now, you see, is that he remembers you're begging him not to leave you then when he did because of his illness. And so he's not hearing you now, okay, because he is feeling that connection to another life when he did leave you and you didn't want him to leave you, okay, that he died because of illness. So he is blurring lines between what went before and what went now. Now, obviously, things have changed. And you have grown spiritually, and whatever was between you has now started to diminish, or you have grown on in that way, you see. So he is still hanging on to the fact that you didn't want him to leave you. So that's what he's hearing in his own mind. Follow?
Wow. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's so amazing.
It was a long, long time ago, darling, a couple of centuries ago. But the memory of that emotion was still a part of his tie to you. And that's part of the reason why now he is holding on. Because before, he's hearing that you didn't want him to leave you, and he couldn't help it then.
Yeah.
But he's mixing it up now, if you get my drift. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, something to think about for the rest of the day now.
Yeah, and if you can, go to that other
class,
because that will help you, and it will help to release a great deal of stuff in your past, my dear. It's time and past time that you let yourself move forward, darling, okay?
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you. You take care and have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, bye-bye, darling. Okay, thank you so much for calling in. I love doing past life regressions. It's like, it's so wonderful. Edgar Cayce said, as we improve ourselves, as we learn to serve others more, as we learn to look to give ourselves in service to others, so shall we grow in the abilities to provide service to others, to do what Edgar Cayce did, which was to see past lives, to give readings. For many of us today, it's something that we do, and we do it in service to others, not through selfishness, but through selflessness. And that is not to say that we cannot take care of self, love self, honor self, because it is only by loving ourselves and honoring ourselves that we can indeed grow. You've heard it from me, you've heard it, I know, many times in your lifetime. If you cannot learn to love yourself, you cannot learn to love other people. You must be able to look at who you are with all your faults, with all your, as I call, the warts, the wens, the little patches of rough stuff that we have in our life, the coarseness, and love ourselves completely and totally, knowing that each day we are helping to ourselves to create ourselves anew, and each time that we give of ourselves to others, without thought of recompense, in a compassionate and loving manner, we are indeed increasing our abilities to have access to these gifts of the Holy Spirit or to these psychic abilities. Seeing past lives, seeing auras, using the still small voice, the little hidden impressions that tell you something's going to come or not. I know that I had one of those come that last Friday. I was supposed to have a very, very important meeting, and I didn't feel really like going, and I thought, but I kept going, and I went to the meeting, and I arrived just in the nick of time, and I was saying, geez, it doesn't really matter, and I couldn't quite understand what was going on until I hadn't been there 5 minutes waiting for the gentleman to arrive I was supposed to meet when a phone call came in, and he had been involved in an accident. On the way to the meeting, he thought it would take 20 minutes. Another call later, his niece had been in a car, had a broken ankle from the car accident, so he couldn't make it. So that explained to me why I didn't feel so much like getting to the meeting, but I forced myself to get up and go anyway, just in case. But I'm glad I did, because I learned where the place was, and I learned not to shave time so close. Ha ha ho ho hee hee, I think. And at any rate, part of what I would like to say is that if you listen to yourself, listen to the still small voice within, you will receive oodles and oodles of information that'll help you make it through the day and to make bigger decisions. That decision is coming, another meeting is coming up Tuesday. It has to do with this training program that I've mentioned to you all before. And I told you I've been praying for this and working towards this, and I would let you know how things were coming along. And it looks like things are finally coming into place, not as fast as I would like, which, you know, I would love to wrinkle my nose and wiggle my ears and have everything fall into place, you know, PDQ, but it isn't going to happen. But it is moving into place in a way that if you knew the complexity of the of what needs to be brought together to make this teaching program a success, you would be amazed. And even I don't understand all of it, and I am sort of amazed as week by week things are unfolding in a manner that is perfect. And the fears that I have, and I have to say fears, and I shame on me, but that was a Freudian slip, the concerns I had are tending out to be concerns that I need not hold close to my chest, okay? They are not fears any longer, but concerns, and if I would release them completely and totally, I'd be a much happier camper, and things would certainly go smoother. Yes, good afternoon, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. May I help you?
Hi, Phyllis. My name is Bo, and
I'm sorry, your name?
Actually... Hello?
Yes, your name again?
Bo, B-O.
Bo? Oh, how nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where are you from?
I called because I think that I have some kind of fear of relationship or something about relationship. I believe that is something from maybe previous life or something.
Okay, and what relationship fear is it that you have? What is it specifically? With anyone or just with a particular type of person or what?
Oh, with my husband, let me say.
You are married, so you haven't got that much fear if you're married.
I am married, yes.
Okay. But you are fearful of opening up to your heart to him?
Yes, kind of.
Yes, okay. And what is it that you fear, that he will betray you?
I actually don't know. I think that I have fear that, I don't know, he will left me or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, okay. You don't trust him fully, okay? There's this fear of loss, possible loss, betrayal.
Okay.
Betrayal. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that you are meeting yourself, okay? In this
you are meeting yourself
in this relationship. In other words, what I am feeling is that, let me see, this is a one that's been going on for quite a while. My impressions are that he and you have been together before, and that there was a vulnerability in your relationships. And in another lifetime, my feeling is, oddly enough, this is kind of strange, and I don't know how, because it's not normally this way. I'm getting the impression that you left him in another lifetime. That you did not stay with him. And you carry this fear of what your betrayal to him was, rather than vice versa. He didn't betray you, you betrayed him by leaving him. But it has come back to you that such a thing might happen. Not because of him, but because of you. You are meeting yourself in your relationship with him from a long, long time ago. And that's unusual, because usually the situation is reversed, you see. At least it's been a lot in my experience that such is the case. He also has, and I think both of you are feeding into your own fears on this situation. It's not just the one of you, it's the two of you that are having some concerns. And it's really a complicated deal here with you, young lady. You are having a relationship fears because you were not faithful to your word, true to your word in other lifetimes. And as a result, in this lifetime, you are finding that relationships are not that easy for you, that they are difficult for you, and that you have concerns with regard to trust and faithfulness. And it may not work out that way. It may also be in it might work out also in a way of business relationships, having some troubles with there. Do you have troubles with business relationships?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
Because I don't have business with no one, actually, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, it'd be hard to go through.
I have one question.
Yes.
With my husband, did I have previous life?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. You have. And definitely you have had a previous lifetime, yes. You have had that. Yes, ma'am. As I said, in the previous life, it was you who turned away from him, not he from you.
Okay.
You left him, is what I'm saying. Okay? And as a result, you are meeting that turning away from him then in this lifetime now, which is why you have concerns with the relationship that you have now. Okay? My feeling is that there's a strong situation that is going to be needed for you to learn to trust yourself in relationships and to open up, because until you can do that, and until you can learn to trust yourself and the relationships that you have with people, you're going to find things very difficult for you, not only with him, but with others. It's meeting oneself, as we call it. The karmic situation is where we meet each ourselves where we are standing at this time. And it's a lot to do in a lifetime. It's a lot to do. But if you want the relationship between the two of you to become more open and more trusting and something that you want where your hearts touch each other, it's going to take decided effort on your part to open up to him and to allow yourself to be vulnerable. In other words, you have to take the risk that you might get hurt. And it's just part of how it is if you want to grow. And if you want to have a closer relationship with this husband.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you in any way, shape, or form?
Yes, it does.
It does. Okay. Yes. I hate to talk through my hat.
And I have also one more question.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I have also a question. I have problem with money. And
uh-huh.
So where is that?
Where is the question with money? Well, my feeling is that money is something that you don't really like.
Yeah.
You use it, yes?
Yeah.
You use it. You like to use it. But to you, money is not... Money isn't your God, okay? Money for
you... Yeah, I don't care too much about that stuff.
Yes, no, that's it. It's not your God. You do not bow at the altar of money. You like it to use it. You can play with it. But I think also that you've had lifetimes where you didn't handle the money. It was handled for you. It was there when you needed it. That's all. You've come from a line where money was just there for you to use, and it wasn't a part of everyday life. And so it also was the culture that you were raised in at that time that to talk about money was simply not done. It's sort of like the very, very well-to-do. It was there,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't discuss it. Okay, it was simply not something that you looked into yourself. So you had the use of money. You like to spend, okay? You
mm-hmm.
do like to spend. And you're kind of frustrated when you have to be tight with money
mm-hmm.
because this is not what you want to do. You always feel, don't you, that there should be enough there for some reason. Am I right? You feel
mm-hmm.
there should be enough there available for you.
I don't understand. So in this life, will it be enough for me somewhere in the future or not?
I don't think that you're going to find this life provide you with as much money as you think you should have.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be concerned about money for this life because you didn't really learn to use it and respect it as much in the other lifetimes. Okay?
Okay.
You had money, but you just didn't have to work with it. It was
okay.
there, but it was, you just didn't learn to work with money, and here you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I have one more question.
Certainly.
I had some kind of, I would say dream, but wasn't dream.
Okay.
I believe that was from previous life or some other
okay.
previous life. I'm not sure from which
okay.
one.
Okay.
That I was some kind like treasury person for some very high person like king or something, you know?
Yeah.
And that was like, I believe so, maybe 100 or a couple more 100 years ago.
Yes.
And I just knew where did I put that money or something, you know? Something
uh-huh.
was about money or gold or something that
yeah.
I actually put on the side, but I cannot remember where. Is this
uh-huh.
is this my imagination or that was actually what happened?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, you had a lifetime where the money was there for you to work with, but you didn't. you kind of lost it.
That dream specifically, yes. I did put somewhere something.
Right.
But with some numbers. I'm not sure, is it like account, is it some treasury box or something?
Well, it was more like treasury, yes. And in those days, they didn't have banks, you see. So it wouldn't be. There would be a place where you'd have to hide or keep the treasury. And usually it was like a castle or a stronghold, okay, in those days. And the thing is, the money you were responsible for, but not making it. Do you follow? There was always plenty of money, but it wasn't your responsibility to make the money. It was just your responsibility to account for it. And you had to make sure that it was safe where it was. Okay.
Okay.
So you are remembering a lifetime, my dear, that where you were responsible for a great deal of money for the treasury.
Yes.
Okay. And it was a heavy responsibility because it meant your life. If anything happened to it, you were you wouldn't live very long. Okay. Let's put it that way. So your life depended on making sure that things were that the treasury was accessible, and so you had. It was a very grave responsibility for you at the time.
Yes. This is what I know, and I also know that I was killed because of something about that treasury something.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, you were.
Yes?
That's what I said. You were considered to have lost it or defending it from those who would take it, and so you lost your life. That's one of the reasons why.
And I have
money doesn't
about
mean
that.
A whole lot to you because you know it's not worth your life. Once you left this earth plane, you realize that money is just a tool to use. It's not your God. It is not the altar where you worship.
Yes,
okay?
This is what I understand.
But
how I have feelings that I would say money, but it's not money. It's some kind of gold or something, you know?
Yeah, well, that's
that somewhere is sitting.
And it could well be that it hasn't been found. It
so
could well
true.
Be. But it's not here. It's not here in the States. Are you from Canada?
No, it's not here. It's not in Canada. It's not on this continent. I believe it's in Europe.
Yeah, that's what my feeling is. It's still over in Europe somewhere.
Oh, God bless you. You make it my day. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, it was. And it was a large treasury. And if you will study the Knights of Templar, you may feel something stir in your heart.
Okay.
The Knights of
Templar. Should I go for it and find it or not?
I don't think it belongs to you, darling. You can look, and it'd be a lot of fun, but I think that you would be trampled if you actually found it. People will be stepping over your prone body trying to get their hands on it.
Okay, Phyllis, God bless you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. You take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. I just love that. Yeah, she had a very, very interesting relationship with her husband. Because as I said, she's got a lot of growth to go and a lot of, she's got a good ability to do something. But, you know, if she can apply herself, she'd have a lot of fun doing a treasure hunt, I think. At any rate, but what I was saying on before, sometimes when I look at past lives, I go down and I start thinking, oh, this, and then all of a sudden the picture changes for me. And it shifts, the visuals shift, which is interesting. So because what would you think logically is a relationship in a past life is something totally different. It's subordinate. I love it because when I see this, I see shifting pictures. It's like watching something come into focus and out of focus, and then eventually it starts again to come into clear focus, and I get a sense of yes, this is right, or no, it's wrong. And that's why sometimes I start to speak and then I have to stop because what I see in the picture begins to change focus. And I find it absolutely fascinating. Part of learning to take care of yourself and looking at yourself clearly allows you to grow in the ability to either see other lifetimes or to listen to what is happening within your own life. Remember, all of these things are for us to use. They are our birthright. They are given to us, and we should use them gratefully, thankfully. And I think that's one of the things that we tend to forget is we get caught up in the wonder of something to the extent that we forget that this is a natural gift, shall we say, that is available to all of us here on this earth plane. It is our natural right to have all these gifts of the Spirit and to be able to seek and find what we can use in our lifetimes. Sometimes it is given to us strongly, and that's because we've used it in another lifetime, and it accumulates as we earn the right to have more and more available for our usage to help ourselves and others move forward into the light. And again, I think this is such a wonderful, wonderful gift, along with reincarnation, because without it, how would we be able to earn the right, lifetime after lifetime, to utilize these gifts, to strengthen these gifts? It would be unfair, in my book, at least my way of thinking, of seeing things, if we were not given the ability to use these gifts in service to ourselves and then others. Remember, as we use them, they become stronger and stronger, as if we to turn them aside to what we call self-aggrandizement or selfishness, then we lose these abilities. They become more diminished. So what can grow strong can also be weakened. And we have ourselves only to answer for the strengths or weaknesses of the gifts in our life. And it's very important that we understand that we accept our responsibility for what we do in our lifetimes, and that if we have these gifts that come with us from birth, so to speak, it's because that we have used them and earned them. But if we do not use them, they will atrophy. Sometimes a blow on the head will cause people to have a greater psychic abilities. I've noticed or heard that also, that it's happened where someone fell and hit their head, and thereafter their psychic abilities seem to become stronger. Those can then turn around and weaken, so you need to know that. But very often it will stay stronger. It's important, again, to give yourself love, to give yourself space to grow, to respect yourself, and to honor yourself. And then you can do this for other people. Apply it in your own life. You don't have to mention it to people out loud. But if you apply the goodness in your own life, the still small voice within your own life, and it works for you, you will find it beginning to grow and helping others in their lifetimes. I mean, a timely warning is not amiss when you want to help someone. There are those who say, well, I get impressions about people, but I never tell them because I don't want them to hear bad things. And you can deliver a warning without scaring people to death, believe me. It's okay to do so. If I see somebody who is very ill, I will encourage them to go see a doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. Just say, you know, your color is off or something like that, or you might want to see a doctor. It's important to want to help others. You don't want to frighten them. You don't want to terrify them. but you can give them a warning. It's kind. I mean, if I saw somebody in the street and I saw a bus coming down the middle of the street or a truck, and I didn't call out to them to warn them that I could see this coming, what kind of a person would I be? So sometimes you ask people to just please take care of themselves, just to please be kind to themselves and be gentle with themselves. Sometimes they get it, but a lot of times they don't. But that's not your responsibility if they don't get it. If you talk to them and you assist them to the best of your ability, people have to be responsible for themselves and where they are in life. And they either do respond to what you say or they don't. And if they don't, it's not that you haven't indeed given them the opportunity to take that word of warning, so to speak. But, you know, there your responsibility ends. Living in the past is not good either. What would you do with finding out what happened in your past lifetime? Edgar Cayce always mentioned that. That was very important. Living in the past is not good. Knowing who you once were doesn't do a whole lot of good, except that what are you going to do with the information that you received? If you use it to move forward, well and good. If you use it to find a greater understanding for yourself, to apply, to learn new lessons, to forgive oneself, to move forward in life, this is good. Then, you know, seek the past life. Seek what it is so that you can be a newborn person. And correct, I am still working on myself, and I've been doing this since my early 20s. Every time I think that I have reached a plateau, I find that, oy, yi, there's another PLA of onion skin that I need to go into to get rid of. I find myself less angry than I used to be about certain things. I find that now if somebody turns on me in anger where I would used to respond in anger, I now can turn around and just look at it and say, wait a second, that's their anger, that's not my anger. No need for me to go there. So I find that I do not respond to other people's triggers like I used to, which is a good thing for me and them. And I also, in holding on to this, realize that I am allowing myself to grow more and allowing that person to grow more and to give breath and space and respect to each other so that we can indeed grow in grace and beauty, that we can help each other. There are a number of things that I would like to continue to change about myself, but it's going to take a little time. I keep hoping that I don't have to have all that much more work done on me, but by golly, there seems to be a never-ending need to polish the apple, so to speak, and or refine the diamond to get it more polished so that it gleams more and that I am more of a kind person. I find that sometimes when I'm impatient, my tone of voice implies, when I'm explaining something to someone or I think they should know it, my tone of voice implies you're an idiot and I know what's going on and you don't. And that isn't it. And I had to realize that that is the impatience that I need to change. I need to change my tone of voice in talking to people so it doesn't sound as though I am calling them an idiot because they don't know diddly squat, which is not my intent. But it has to do with Phyllis, honing Phyllis's mentality and her thoughts so that I can be more respectful to other people. Because I certainly have had people talk to me as though I were an idiot. And I can tell you, I do not appreciate being addressed that way. I don't like it for myself. I sure darn well don't think anybody else is going to find it any more enamoring because it's me doing the handing out of the words and tone of voice than somebody else handing it to me. So, again, every time I think I've come to a point where I'm a pretty good person and I've done a lot of work on myself, Well, thank you very, very much. God bless you all for listening. I had so much fun. This hour went by faster than I ever thought. Thank you for listening to The Higher Dimensions with Phyllis Pricer. You can reach me at area code 202-387-2080, or you can call, reach me through BBS Radio. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.